The Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on iTunes and at davedameshek.nfl.com. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Hi and hello, football fans. It's your old pal Dave. Dave Dameshek coming at you from Chicago, Illinois, site of the 2015 NFL Draft. This podcast, as all the podcasts, available on iTunes, Stitcher, and NFL.com/Sheck. And I am joined here, not in Studio 66, Maximum Strength. Instead, we are on the outskirts of, what's it called, Draft Town or whatever, Selection Square. They have a bunch of drafty kind of names to these things. Let's say hello to the people seated around me. First of all, he has been the Quarter Pole Shecky Award winner for the best football playing guest. He's provided us with heaps and heaps of knowledge as we enter this draft. It's Bucky Brooks. What's the poop, fella?
What's going on, Sheck?
Excuse me, nothing.
Excuse me.
That's still some of the Gibsons that I had last night with Handsome Hank. You know, Bucky, 21 years ago, 1994, second round, who was at the podium? I don't think it was Tagliabue, steps to the podium and says, with the 48th pick in the 1994 draft,
the Buffalo Bills
select Bucky Brooks, wide receiver.
How crazy is that? I cannot remember who called. I remember at the time, you watched the draft on TV, and I remember the phone ringing in the house, and the late John Butler was on the phone, and he was like, are you excited? Are you ready to be a Buffalo Bill? And at that point, 48
picks.
Like,
eh?
I was, ready to be off this grease pole that I felt like I was on. 11 receivers went before I was picked.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't remember that 94 was like that.
I might have been.
I want to dig into that for a second, but real quick, let's say hello to our resident Miami Dolphins fan all the way from London, England. It's Handsome Hank. What's the poop, Handsome? How are you?
Doing good, thank you, Dave. I haven't yet got that call, but I still hold out hope that tomorrow the phone could ring. I don't know. Maybe Friday.
Yeah,
I
we're like about 24 hours away from the first selection being made.
Like, Hank, how do you become a Dolphins fan in England? Like,
oh, it's pretty easy. Like, you can do the math on that. Think about, look at him. You can tell by his age when he grew up.
Right.
Right?
I mean, so, it's all down to Dan Marino. We don't need to do it again. But
as I've said, it's Dan Marino, and you know that's these are the things that happen. I say this to people all the time. You have to be very careful. We all work at the NFL, and so periodically there will be these giveaways, swag leftovers, you know, from whatever event, an old Super Bowl, or you know, to stuff that's stylistically outdated or whatever. And you can go and take it, and people just load up on whatever. They grab Titans junk, they grab Texans junk, and so on. And I always caution people, do not do that unless you're cool with your son or your little daughter growing up to be a fan of one of these teams. Because that's how most people, if you grow up in a city and the team's good, that's pretty easy to vibe to that team. But a giant percentage of fans out there, as grown-ups, become a fan of a team because their dad goes on a road trip and gets him a Dolphins hat, you know, and brings it back, and that kid is locked in for life to that team.
Very influential. I told you, growing up in a house, my son is a Cowboys fan. I played for 5 teams and worked for 2 additional teams. Nowhere in there was I affiliated with the Dallas Cowboys. Yet, because he has people in his family that like the Dallas Cowboys, he now is a Dallas guy. And it drives me crazy. He wears the Tony Romo, the Dez Bryant jersey. And I'm like, dude, like what? And he's like, hey, I mean, I have to join in because others join in. So he's influenced by his cousins and the like.
I feel your pain, Bucky. I took my 5-year-old to Cowboys training camp up in Oxnard, and now he's a Cowboys fan too. And there's nothing I can do about it.
I know. Well, listen, you know, whether it's Football Baby, a.k.a. Mr. Mojo, or his older brother, Jean-Claude Van Damashek, you know, I mean, the rule has been told to them. You know, Mojo doesn't even really understand what I'm telling him. But I think deep down he gets the point. Go ahead and root for whoever you want to. You know, don't be a Steelers fan, but just don't plan on watching any football in this house then.
Right.
I mean, like, I shame the devil if I have one of those contrarian kids. You know, I grew up, obviously, in Pittsburgh. My one friend, also named Dave, was a Cowboys fan inexplicably. That, to me, says you know, again, you just are a born contrarian. You don't want to be a part of the gang, you know. And I don't want anything to do with that in my house. So, Bucky, so you go to the Buffalo Bills second round. Did you have a hunch that you might be a first-round pick? Was this a disappointment that you were second-round guy?
You know, and here's the thing, and here's probably why I'm kind of resistant to doing mock drafts, because at the time, mock drafts were just beginning to pop up. Mel Kiper was the guy that still kind of had some things. And then your local paper would also have a draft. And I remember waking up the day before seeing my name associated with the New York Giants in the first round. And so naturally, reading the paper, you believe everything that you see. So draft day, you wake up, you're like, hey, maybe I'm going to the New York Giants. That pick comes, and I think it was the 24th pick of the first round. They take Thomas Lewis from Indiana, who was a good player, and we were friends at the time. We had gone to the combine together, whatever. But there was that disappointment that I'm not a first-round pick. And so you go from there to seeing others go. Derek Alexander went to the Cleveland Browns, Darnay Scott, Cincinnati Bengals, Kevin Lee, Ike Bruce, on and on. David Palmer, all of these other wide receivers hear their
name
call.
What a collection of flameouts, with the exception of Isaac Bruce.
Isaac Bruce goes to the Rams, and actually turns out he was my roommate at the combine. Turns out to obviously be a Pro Bowl player, plays at a high level. But the rest of those guys, Ryan Yarbrough goes to the Jets. It's funny how you remember all those guys. Yeah, all those guys get picked before me. So, yeah, you hold a grudge. You're disappointed. But you're also excited because you do begin the opportunity to process of kind of living out one of your dreams.
Does anybody in your family say, I'm staying by my old team, or is everybody immediately a Buffalo Bills fan?
Everybody becomes a Buffalo Bills fan because that's all the swag. You know, the swag giveaway. That's right. As you're talking about, when you go up there, you bring home a trough full of Buffalo Bills T-shirts and hats. Everybody jumps on board. The problem is, when you then are let go by the Buffalo Bills, where does the allegiance go? So you go from Buffalo to Green Bay to Jacksonville to Kansas City to Green Bay.
That's like, interesting, yeah.
Tough. So now I don't have a team. As much as I would like to say I'm with Bills Mafia, it's
tough. Do you make your family give away the Bills stuff and take on the Packers stuff?
Yeah, I have a thing where whenever I left, I gave away. I left it all there. You can't pull for a team that you've been
not you
dropped from. Yeah,
you make the whole family take it out and give it to Goodwill.
Yeah, everybody.
Who was your team growing up though?
It's tough though because I remember in North Carolina we didn't have a team. So the teams that would be shown on TV would be the Washington Redskins or the Atlanta Falcons. And so being a huge Tar Heel fan, I would follow where those guys would go. So Washington took Kelvin Bryant. Mm-hmm. Kelvin Bryant was a guy. So I pulled for the Redskins for some. Doug Williams was prominent, first African-American quarterback to go to Super Bowl and win it. So I pulled for the Redskins some. But I can't say that I was a longtime Redskins fan, even though a lot of my family pulled for the Redskins leading up.
All right, let's dig into the 2015 draft. And, look who has a microphone now. It's producer extraordinaire out from behind the glass and joining us in our little semicircle here in, what is this place called? Selection
draft
Square,
Town.
I think is what it's called.
Draft Town is the full location. You have Selection Square here. You have team houses here. You have everything going on here.
Of course, the voice you just heard there is Black Tie, the producer. Now, Handsome, you and I, without Black Tie, but with Chris Wessling, last night went to Gibson Steakhouse.
Thanks for the invite, guys.
Yeah, I'm kind of embarrassed to be sitting. We're about to have a discussion in front of Bucky and Black Tie about the great dinner we had without them
Bucky,
last night.
Well, I was on the plane. I was on the plane. So
okay,
all right.
I know that I would have an invite.
If
he wasn't going out.
And to that point, I don't like calling people out. But we also invited Daniel Jeremiah, Move the Sticks. Last week, he accepted our invitation. Yesterday, he must have got a better offer.
Oh, he big timed.
He big timed us.
The hi-hat.
He big timed.
I feel bad for you guys.
Which is worse, because Black Tie, there was an empty seat at the table. We still didn't invite you.
Well, I was busy working out in a gym where Akbar Bajabir Miller was also working out with his shirt off for some reason.
Again.
Oh, no. In the gym?
Yes.
Oh, no.
Hey, look, man. Akbar has to
at
get
the gym.
See, Akbar still, in his mind, thinks that he can play. Yeah. Much like you talk about your basketball dreams, Akbar still has football dreams. I think Akbar, if someone gave him an opportunity to go to camp, I think he would go back, and I think he seriously thinks that he could be one of those dudes again.
Update, by the way, Black Tie, as the longtime listener already knows, Black Tie has compared himself, he said, or at least his classmates in high school called him Young Kobe because of the way he played basketball.
That's untrue.
Black Tie today compared himself to Austin Rivers.
Well,
so now he's compared himself to multiple NBA guys.
To be frank, he said that he could feel Austin Rivers' pain because his mindset is that He's a lead dog. He's a dominant performer. He's the alpha. However, his skill suggests that he should be a sixth or a seventh man, a guy that plays in the rotation. And it's hard for him to separate what he thinks from what his role should be.
I just understand that mindset because in my at my own level, obviously not anything close to the NBA, I would play pickup and play unorganized basketball and be great at it. And then play organized basketball with plays and all that stuff and not know what
right,
I was
no
doing.
No one cares that much. All right, so let's
exactly.
Yeah, we really need to move on.
Yeah.
Yeah, but real quick, Handsome, as we continue our culinary tour across these United States, and hopefully one day we'll take it global, how did you rate our latest stop, Gibson Steakhouse?
I thought it was delicious. It's probably a top three
is that
spot
right?
for me. I would say, I'm trying to think back to Super Bowl in New Orleans is where we really just, we ate everything we could find there. We really did, like everything. We've had some great New York, I don't know, maybe it's not top three. Top five, though, it was good steak.
I drafted, when I got here to the site where we're recording, I drafted a donut. I had a buttermilk donut. Which
I just had a
good.
maple syrup one. Ooh,
that
was delicious. That
can be very good. Have you ever had a cherry cake donut, Bucky Brooks?
No, I haven't. Typically,
if
I
you come across
the,
one, try it.
The old-fashioned cake donuts.
Yes.
I cake. Do like, when I was living in Oakland, they had, it was this place, hole in the wall, but they had these buttermilk bars. Unbelievable.
Yeah, you know, Dunkin' Donuts, they do the traditional circle buttermilk, but they also do one that looks kind of like a crown.
Yeah.
Give me that any day.
A cruller?
No. Well, I don't know. It looks like a crown. You know, it's a circle, but it doesn't have a hole
doesn't
in
have
the middle
a hole
of
in,
it.
Right.
It doesn't have a hole in it.
Yeah. Oh, give me that. I've said it before. I'll say it again now. People say this, that, and the other about Krispy Kreme, but Krispy Kreme has a bunch
hold
of...
up. Hold up.
Krispy Kreme has
hold
too
up.
Many conditions on it.
I'm from North Carolina.
Yeah.
Krispy Kreme, I want to say, is founded and started in maybe Winston-Salem, North Carolina.
All right.
So Krispy Kreme is, that is a treat. There's nothing like
because it's
Krispy
from your
Kreme.
Hometown or
absolutely.
Your home state. It's a treat.
Yes.
Clark
absolutely.
Bars are from Pittsburgh. You don't hear
no.
me singing
well,
songs
I mean, like,
about Clark
like,
Bars.
But Krispy Kreme, like that is a tradition. It's known. It's an establishment.
Bucky,
like,
is there any truth to the rumor that the 94 draft you dropped because people thought you had a donut habit?
I did have a donut habit, but I don't know if that led to the drop, but I did have a donut habit. Like, that used to be a must-have every night.
Krispy Kremes, I forget who I've compared,
there's
what
nothing.
Football player I've compared to Krispy Kremes before, but I guess you could say Peyton Manning is one of those guys. Peyton Manning is Krispy Kremes. Krispy Kremes are terrific. As long as you just get them when they're warm.
And oh, you have to get them when they're hot.
Well, I want conditions. Are they delicious or are they not?
I mean, they are. But you have to get them when they're hot. So, like, just the glaze and everything.
I want it when the conditions aren't right. Oh. When the field is muddy and it's cold outside.
Oh,
I don't want the Krispy Kreme. The crown buttermilk from Dunkin' Donuts is always there for you.
I like Dunkin' Donuts, but I think it pales in comparison to Krispy Kreme.
All right, you're making me angry now. Let's talk about something else. And
let's talk about the draft. How about that?
All right, that's what I was going to get to. You read my mind, Black Tie. Like I say, the 2015 draft, soon to begin now. We just about, I think we can say with 99% certainty, that there's no way that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going to do anything other than Jameis Winston, right? And we don't have to indulge a conversation about
that. No, I think that's a lot. I think Jameis Winston is the pick. I think he's the guy at number one. Obviously, we talked about it ad nauseum. Lovie Smith understands what Jameis Winston brings to the table. Athletically, physically, he's a great fit in that offense. He is a guy that really fits what Dirk Cutter traditionally has. At Arizona State, he had Andrew Walter. At Atlanta, he had Matt Ryan. Classic drop-back passes that do their damage from the pocket. That is what Jameis Winston is. That's what he will continue to be. I think he'll thrive in that offense.
All right. People, obviously, in Tampa Bay, Buccaneers fans are going to be enthused when the pick is finally announced. But realistically, how excited can they be in 2015? Is the offensive line complete and utter garbage, and therefore that puts a ceiling on how good this Buccaneers team can be? Year two with Lovie Smith, if he is, in fact, a defensive wizard with the pieces that they have, the cupboard isn't bare on that side. Can the Buccaneers be relevant immediately? Can they do an RG3 in D.C.?
Well, I think when you look at that division, the NFC South, traditionally teams are going from worst to first. I think this could be a team that really competes to be at the top of that division.
I agree, except for that O-line, which I can't – I'm not – as a layman, can't evaluate.
The O-line is problematic, but guess what? They have more than just the first pick. At the top of the second round, they can get a really good player that can fill a huge need along the offensive line. I like the defense. I like the way it's coming. Having another offseason in that system gives them an opportunity to really make huge strides. I think offensively, they're going to put up a lot of points. I think when you look outside the weapons that they have, Mike Evans, Vincent Jackson, ASJ, Austin Safarian Jenkins, they're ready to go. Charles Sims, their running back, I think he could be a guy that's a dynamic player. Put Jameis Winston in the offense around him and protect him. They could be ready to go this year.
Oh, yeah, I agree with that. Handsome, do you feel that I've read this right in that the whole draft pivots at number two?
Absolutely.
That's everything. Are you rooting for something to happen in
that spot? I'm rooting for the trade. I think everyone, you know, the excitement for tomorrow would be that a trade happens at two and you know, some team offers up a lot to get into that second spot and probably take Marcus Mariota there.
Do you think the likelihood, Buck, if there is going to be a deal at number two for somebody to go and try and get Mariota, do you expect it to happen within the borders of the first round? People are saying, well, why don't they pull the trigger now, whoever's going to do it? But, of course, you want to make sure that you get Mariota. There is the formality of the Buccaneers taking Winston, and then you would go up and get Mariota. It would be, you know, people have suggested, why don't the Eagles trade into the sixth slot? Well, because Mariota very well might not be there. That's why.
No, it's cool. Yeah, you're absolutely right. I am surprised that if you really are entertaining the thought, if you need a quarterback, that a deal hasn't already been consummated prior to.
Do you think that is a possibility, that there is something already agreed to?
I mean, I think there could be something brewing. Obviously, today, without dating the podcast, the reports of the Browns offering up the 12th and the 19th selection in the first round to move up to number two, that is enticing. But I just wonder, how does that information get out there if the deal hasn't been done? To me, it seems like a smokescreen, another ploy by the Tennessee Titans to continue to drive up interest in the pick. I don't know. I'm still waiting for the GM to come out and stand on the table and say, Marcus Mariota is my guy. I haven't heard a lot of people say that he is the guy that they see as the second best player in the draft and a guy that is a franchise quarterback from day one. But the same thing happened last year with Blake Bortles. I didn't think he was ready to play in year one. He was the number three guy in the draft. So we'll see how it plays out.
Well, it is remarkable that Florida State is about to have three guys go in the first round in the span of, what, 4 years? 5 years?
Five years.
So Christian Ponder. But so that this desire to try and find a good quarterback leads a lot of teams to reach, and not just to Tallahassee, Florida, whether it's Christian Ponder or E.J. Manuel. Do you think – I know you've done all your mock drafts, so I know the answer is probably no, you aren't anticipating that. But do you have it somewhere in the back of your head that there's a team that is going to reach and try and get Brett Hundley or Bryce Petty before Thursday night is through?
Oh, first round?
Yeah.
I can't see either one of those guys sneaking into the first round. Early in the second round, I believe they absolutely come off the board. I believe Bryce Petty has convinced a lot of evaluators that he can be a starting quarterback in the league. I think he has the right persona. He physically has the tools and traits that you look for. But when you watch him play the game, that offense is different. That offense has a lot of high school elements to it, and that's no disrespect to what Art Browse has done. But really, their plays, when you look at Baylor, that the receivers on the left don't move off the line of scrimmage. And so when you think of the transition and the difficulty RG3 has had in times making the switch to the pro game, I would be leery of taking Bryce Petty without fully understanding where he is with his football intelligence and aptitude.
Here's what I don't get. Why can't if you told me here's the list of skills and here are the problems for a quarterback, if the primary issue for a QB is accuracy, as it is with Brett Hundley, I would say, well, isn't that sort of my thought is, isn't that akin to almost every kid coming out of college these days in basketball? And they say, well, he doesn't have a perimeter game. He's going to have to develop that. Yeah, he's a great athlete. He'll do that by practicing for the next year or two, and he'll develop NBA range. What's so hard to teach about that? If you have a cannon and you can move around and you got the size, those are
the
all
difference.
Bigger, right?
The difference is we're now in a time with social media and Twitter where we don't have the patience to wait for a young quarterback to develop. In the past, when you didn't hear all the white noise from fans and others and observers making an opinion, an instant opinion and evaluation every week, you could put your young quarterback and allow him to develop. But now when you take a quarterback in the first round, the first thing we talk about on NFL Network and NFL media is, when is he getting on the field? And then as soon as he gets on the field, if he flames out the first game, he can't play. Get him off the field.
Yeah.
So think about the Johnny Manziel evaluation. Seven quarters he's played, and we're already trying to replace him. So as much as we would like to say that it's a developmental league, what you need coming in is a guy that is pretty ready to play, because we're not going to give him enough chances to show his skills to fully develop over a 3-4 year period. That's why they're trying to move on from Geno Smith.
And Bucky, you're being really nice there too. The big difference between a college player going into the pro hoops is that there's a difference between shooting a 3-pointer and learning, you know, extending your range and like learning an offense, a pro offense or a quarterback.
I'm not talking about learning the offense. That's not the issue. What do you mean being nice?
I think skill development, like the difference with the NBA, rarely are those guys able to come in and play and do that. Yet, people understand that it takes time for those guys. In our league, we don't have the same patience for our young players to develop.
Young quarterbacks, really?
Yeah, so quarterbacks don't – they aren't afforded the opportunity to sit on the sidelines and really learn how to play the game.
But you met, the example you gave was Manziel, where he had to go into and start at some point during his rookie season. If a team like the Saints, let's say, went and drafted Bryce Petty, or they drafted Brett Hundley tomorrow, and they gave him a couple years to learn, how much are those quarterbacks hurt by the fact that now teams can't use them during that, you know, what used to be an off season where they could get with coaches, and they're just unable to now?
All of that stuff comes into play. The new rules, and the players wanted these rules, but I think it actually to their detriment. You now no longer have the ability to have these quarterback schools where coaches spend 6 weeks working with the young quarterbacks, developing them. Part of Aaron Rodgers' success was not only the fact that he went to a good team that had a quarterback, so the pressure wasn't on him to play, but Mike McCartney had the opportunity every offseason to spend 6 weeks fully dedicated to developing his skills because Brett Favre wasn't in the building.
Right.
And so that was invaluable. And when he had the opportunity to play, he was better prepared to play in the National Football League than these other guys have been.
And Sean Payton's not going to say in training camp, hey, Breeze, get out of there. Let's get Bryce today. It's not happening.
And so people get mad. So let's use the mock drafts as an example. When you don't tie, because I didn't tie Marcus Mariota to a guy in the top 10, a team in the top 10 early. The worst situation for a young quarterback, you're drafted high and you go to the absolute worst team.
Yeah, right.
You don't have the ability to make a change. It's not a coincidence that the young players that have played, Andrew Luck notwithstanding, I think he went to a team that was better than their record indicated, had weapons around him. He is a transcendent star, but he had better support around him. Russell Wilson, they had Marshawn Lynch. They had some other weapons around. They had a good defense that allowed him to slowly work his way into being the guy at the position. If Marcus Mariota or even Jameis Winston, they went to the Saints at 13 or the San Diego Chargers at 17, you're going to a better team. When you have a better team, you have better talent around you. Gives you opportunity to have success slowly because it's not on you to make all the plays.
What about the Browns?
That's what I was – you know what? We've talked about the need in that division to have a big, sturdy guy. Brett Hundley to the Browns with the luxury of two picks in the first round doesn't seem like a half-bad idea. To me, though, it's such it's so dispiriting as a fan base, and I'm sure within the organization, to take a QB in the first round and then have to use another first-round pick in the following year.
Right.
That's the only reason I would shy from it.
That's why I'm not all the way convinced that they are really in the Marcus Mariota sweepstakes like is being told. Like, they just invested a first-round pick in Johnny Manziel. He played, in essence, seven quarters. Not enough time to fully make an evaluation. Now, if you want to bring in another quarterback and say he and Marcus Mariota are going to compete, but that's a lot of capital tied up into
– exactly right, yeah.
Tied up into one position. It doesn't make sense on the surface. I believe what you're better served to do, take those two picks, get other supporting pieces. If Johnny Manziel can't do it next year, when you could have – and I can't talk about juniors, but there's some very intriguing junior quarterback prospects that could be in the draft. Look at Happy Valley. Look at Berkeley. There's some guys that could play the position that may be better fits for conventional pro-style
offense. I don't know
what
those clues are. I didn't follow your clues. Yes, Hans. Oh, I thought you looked as though you wanted to say something. All right, fellas, let's jump in here real fast and play a little impromptu game. What uniform will he be wearing, all right?
Okay.
In 2015, Marcus Mariota, I start with you, Handsome Hank.
He will be wearing an Eagles uniform.
And by the way, I'm glad you figured it out. I was saying when he's playing football. Like, right. I don't know what he does in his
free
time.
Maybe like for Halloween, he may dress as a policeman. But
a side gig, working security somewhere. That's not what I'm talking about.
He's a big-time surfer, so I don't know.
Yeah, well.
Don't wear a uniform.
Neither here nor there.
No. I'm going to say.
Lifeguard.
The St. Louis Rams.
All right.
I know I mocked them to it, but there are a couple different reasons why I believe St. Louis would be an ideal fit. One, if the Rams were to move to L.A., West Coast guy, already starting the Pac-12, firmly established, some excitement and some buzz building in L.A. Secondly, Jeff Fisher has already shown that he will take an athletic quarterback and put him into play and be very patient with him. Steve McNair, 2 years before he got on
the field. 9 years ago today, by the way, the draft when the Houston Texans stunned the world when they decided to take Mario Williams over either Vince Young or Reggie Bush.
Yeah, so Steve McNair first took him, put him on the shelf for 2 years behind Chris Chandler before he took over. Vince Young won games with Vince Young. Even if they say that Bud Adams made the pick, Jeff Fisher found a way to play with him, won games with him. And looking at that roster, athletic quarterback like Marcus Mariota, even if he's not able to supplant Nick Foles this year, going to L.A., young quarterback, excitement, I think it makes a lot of sense on a bunch of
that is nice to have a 1 year stopgap in Nick Foles. Black Tie, you want to weigh in?
Eagles. Guess here? Eagles for me. I think Chip Kelly is just gearing towards making a big splash on draft day. And it's Chip Kelly, man. There's always something funky going on with that guy.
Legitimately, though, is it just water under the bridge? That's the way business is done in the NFL around this time of year. But Chip Kelly has said, over and over again, condescends to the media and says, I've told you guys that we don't make a move unless we want that player. That's why we got Sam Bradford. He's going to be our quarterback, so on and so forth. No, we're not going to mortgage any of the draft picks we have to move up to get Mariota. If he does that, then how could we ever take him seriously?
Well, because he said he's not going to mortgage the draft picks. He's mortgaging Sam Bradford. He didn't say anything about mortgaging Sam Bradford.
That's true. So if they get Mariota, Bradford is still an Eagle then. Tebow, Sanchez, and the rest of the world.
There have been some interesting scenarios that have been thrown out there. And when you hear the conversation about the Browns wanting to be or having been in play with Sam Bradford, maybe it is a situation where the Browns do some of the dirty work. They take Marcus Mariota, and maybe it's one of those NBA-type swaps where we saw with Andrew Wiggins and the like. Who knows? Like, it could go any way. I will say this. For the Eagles to move from where they are to number two, they would have to give up so much that would really rob them of their ability to continue to fill out their roster. I just believe that for them to make a move at Marcus Mariota, it would be because he has somehow fallen.
Right.
And he's in range where it doesn't completely crush what they want to do in the draft.
This is unexciting news. He will go to the Titans. That's it. This is the way. When push comes to shove, these teams all in the NFL in the last few years, they always default. You know what? We better take the quarterback. This guy might be.
It didn't happen. It didn't happen Geno Smith's year. And if we go back to when they really did it, that year when we talk about Jake Locker and Blaine Gabbert and Ponder, all of those guys that were considered reaches never panned out. So you have to make sure that you draft a guy that is really graded at the level where you see him playing to that evaluation. And if you don't do that, it can't happen. So for Marcus Mariota, he needs to be a guy that falls down the board till he's in range for the Philadelphia Eagles to do it. If not, I don't think it will work, and I don't see them making that move. And for the Tennessee Titans specifically, he's not Ken Wisenhunt's type of quarterback. Ken Wisenhunt wants a big-bodied pocket passer. Phillip Rivers, Ben Roethlisberger, even when he had Kurt Warner, none of those guys can move around. He is a guy, like I told you, I've told you before, offensive coordinators want it to be about them. The system, how they call plays, what they do, Ken Wisenhunt falls into that. Because of that, an improvisational playmaker doesn't fit. He's not going to be the pick for the Tennessee Titans.
Well, you mentioned the name. You beat me to the punch. What uniform will Phil Rivers be wearing in 2015?
The Chargers.
What do you laugh? Like, that's a ridiculous thing. I didn't make the up the rumors.
The balloon was floated out to maybe do Ken Whisenhunt a solid, to maybe also drum up some pressure on Phillip Rivers. He was taking a hardline stance about not wanting to go to L.A. if the Chargers elected to move to L.A. Okay, fella, we can get rid of you and move on. They're squeezing the agent. This is all behind the scenes.
All right, well, it's exciting for fans because the notion of Phil Rivers moving can swing the entire NFL season. If you put him on the Jets or Bills, the entire makeup of the AFC is different then. Handsome, how say you on Phil Rivers?
Phil Rivers is going nowhere. He's going to San Diego. He may go on vacation with his 19 children, but outside of that, he's staying in San Diego.
All right. Next up, the intriguing running back beyond the beyond Gurley and Melvin Gordon. Everybody suddenly is really excited about Duke Johnson of Miami, and it feels like a lot of teams are sort of pinning their hopes on him being there at the top of two. Will he get? He'll make it through the first round. You're assuming, Bucky. What team will Duke Johnson play for in 2015?
Ooh, that's a tough one. That's a tough one because he's a dynamic player. I can see him playing in a bunch of different sits. He really fits.
Well, the reason I ask it is because I think a team like the Jets would do well to take, and the Jaguars, I've said this repeatedly, Todd Gurley, you wait and see. With the, you know, I can't evaluate defensive line play. I mean, outside of the sack masters, I can't tell you if Leonard Williams is going to be dominant. But of the guys that I can assess with my eyeballs, Todd Gurley is the guaranteed home run of this draft. And I think the Jets should take him at number six. I have a feeling that the Jags at whatever 35 and so on, they'll say, well, let's, you know what, we'll get Duke Johnson. But there's only one of him.
Yeah, but this is one of the deeper draft classes we've seen at running back, and sometime maybe not the elites. I would say there are only two guys that I would say are like those elite. That would be Todd Gurley and Melvin Gordon. The rest of the guys, Duke Johnson, T.Y. Yeldon, all those guys can play and they can fit. So at the top of the second round, I can see Yeldon going to the Jacksonville Jaguars. I can see Duke Johnson being in play.
Yeah, we haven't heard enough about Yeldon. He's going to be nifty, and he doesn't have a ton of wear and tear.
He doesn't have a ton of wear and tear. I liken him to Le'Veon Bell in terms of his style of play. Bigger, physical, can run inside the tackles, can catch the ball out the backfield, has some problems fumbling the ball, but in terms of running and being a guy that can play, I know Alabama running backs spook people because of what Trent Richardson has gone through. But Yeldon is a guy that could be in play. Duke Johnson, Yeldon, Amir Abdullah, all those guys are nice. And then beyond that, in the third round, Mike Davis, South Carolina, Buck Allen, USC, and also Daniel Cobb from Minnesota. Those guys can play. David Cobb, they can make big plays.
Jay Ajayi as well.
Knee issue. There's some medical concerns about Ajayi that prevent people from jumping on, but there's always a value to a guy can play. There's some value in there. We may not see his value come to the day three, fourth round. Maybe.
So if two backs go in round one on Thursday night, what do you think? The over-under on like eight backs on day two? Does that sound about right?
I think that's the right thing because that's the sweet spot. If you go and you look at the Pro Bowl players, Jamal Charles, Shady McCoy, Frank Gore, second and third round backs, that's where teams are targeting. So the value for running backs is right in that day two area.
All right, let's wind it up here with some fast action here. Amari Cooper, what uniform will he wear, Handsome?
He's going to be playing for the Oakland Raiders.
Well, there are late rumors about him going to the Jags at number three. Anything to that, Buck?
I think they love their young players. Marquise Lee, Allen Robinson, Allen Hurns. I think Jerry Sullivan, that receiver coach there, he likes what he has developing. I don't think they'd spend the number three overall pick on a wide receiver.
I think Marquise Lee, his sophomore year, is the year he blows up.
He's going to be a stud.
Yeah, he's a DeSean Jackson clone
in my book
there. Shane Ray, and in the first – oh, well, Handsome, I didn't ask you. Oh, no, I did ask you. What uniform will he wear, and in what round will he go?
Shane Ray's going to go in the second round.
Oh.
I think, maybe. Somewhere near the top.
All right.
Don't count your pick, Hank. Yes, here with conviction. If he's going to second round, he's second round. I believe he's going in the first round.
I agree with that.
Arizona Cardinals are a team to watch. I even think the Pittsburgh Steelers are a team to watch. He is too talented a pass rusher to let fall out of the first round. Someone will absolutely take him before he gets out.
Yeah, but the syndrome of turf toe with linebackers is a weird one. Like we talked about, Jack Lambert and Patrick Willis, two of the toughest linebackers ever. Both had their careers ended by turf toe. Shane Ray, also a ferocious type performer. He's got the turf toe. What goes on with this turf toe business?
I mean, it's tough. I had turf toe during my rookie season. It is really tough.
But we got to get a better name for it. It doesn't sound like it should end careers.
You put a steel plate in and try and play with it, but it's painful. That is the most important joint on your foot.
All right. I'm just saying, let's come up with something that sounds ominous.
What do you want to call it? Football toe? What?
I don't know. I always say there's nothing more narcissistic. I would like something named after me, you know, like I'd like a street name
or anything. Shecto? That's what
you want. But there the need for name recognition and to live on past your mortal body is so human beings are so obsessed by the notion of having their name live on that doctors name diseases after themselves. That's a weird thing to do. Why would you name it? Why would anybody want a disease named after themselves?
I don't know.
But you know what? I'm going to jump in on it. Damn a Shecto.
Okay, Shecto.
Yeah, that's Shecto. If you get the Shecto, man, yeah, you don't want to mess with Shecto. I think that's a good place to end the podcast.
You think?
It's giving us all a lot to think about here. Black Tie, final thoughts here.
Shecto, it ends careers, it ends podcasts. That's it.
All right. Young Kobe Rivers.
No, young Kobe. Young Kobe slash Austin Rivers.
Don't do the Rivers thing. That is not a comparison. I just feel his pain.
Austin Rivers.
Yeah, it's not a comparison. I just feel
his pain. 1-on-1, you and Austin Rivers. Game to 10. What is the score? You and Austin Rivers.
It kills me, man.
Austin Rivers kills you.
Not 60 in like pro am and
the
summer
score,
loops.
What's the score? How many What's buckets? The score? Do How many you buckets score can you get on Austin Rivers?
I got a couple.
No. Because this is a game. This is a game my buddies and I used to play. If you played a 48 minute NBA game, how many points could you hit?
Oh, I'd get 9. I get 3 open threes. I get 3 open threes at some point.
Yo, Kobe said he could get 9 points in an NBA game.
3 open threes.
Oh, well, all right. I didn't realize it was
9 points.
That's doable.
You know that it's 24 feet away, right?
I do, yeah. I'm taking an NBA 3.
So you'll knock down 3. You'll probably get, over the course of the game, 6-7 good looks at it. Yeah. You'll knock down about half of them.
At best, yeah. First one.
That may be, and this is this is saying something. That may be the most ridiculous thing you've ever done. Do you really believe that you would score? Do you really believe you could score a basket in an NBA game?
Because it's no more ridiculous than you leading a 2-minute drill.
Why do you laugh at that?
Throwing a touchdown.
You keep saying the 2-minute part. I didn't say anything about that. Just drop me in there.
A touchdown drive.
What he specifically talked about was playing for the Buccaneers at quarterback and being able to throw because they've got big receivers. He could just he'd be raining touchdowns.
You know what, though? I've thought about that, and I don't want to play behind a crummy offensive line.
Okay.
I'm not sturdy enough for that, and I don't have the wheels to get away from pressure. You know, I got plenty of moxie. Don't worry about that, Coach.
I think you're off that board anyway.
You know, I do. I'm trying to think what team would best suit Damashek's skill. I'm trying to think about something here. Maybe the Steelers. Good offensive line. Cowboys. Oh, that's it. Cowboys. That's the pick for
good
me. Great offensive line.
I'll turn running back.
We're gonna fix that.
Jerry Takeoff and I is that threat as well. You've got to respect Dave.
You know what I
want to
do? Maybe next week we could do this when we're back in Los Angeles.
You know this is not the actual studio, right? We do have to go.
I just want to say this. I thought this would be fun. What if teams did a thing where you drafted coaches? Let's do a 2-round draft real fast next week or in the couple weeks. Let's draft all the coaches, including the coordinators and such, because I think some of those guys would sneak into the first round.
They'd be more valuable than head coach,
right? I mean, who would be the first coordinator taken? Obviously, Belichick would go one. I think Arians would be in the top 5. Tomlin, so on. Usual
Chip Kelly goes one,
huh?
I think Chip Kelly goes one.
Chip Kelly goes one.
Gotta think of you
first coordinator. That's a good one.
All right, radio pro, hold the microphone to your mouth when you talk, Black Tie, please. Please, young Kobe Rivers.
We got to wrap. Let's go, guys.
All right. Who's the first coordinator? I'm waiting on this
Adam Gase.
From Denver?
Chicago now, right?
Yeah. Ty Haley's intriguing at some point with the weapons that he has. I would say that. That's a tough one. I can't wait until next week. I need some time to think about that.
All right, we'll work it out, Bucky. In the meantime, banner work once again in 2015, as you always do. As the draft approaches, kudos to you on you.
I think the tough thing for Bucky is going to be, like, you're right, he's on that quarter pole pace to be the MVP, but now draft's gone. The pressure's on Bucky to keep performing through the summer and into the fall.
What is my second trick?
Don't be like, well, Bucky's only good like a Krispy Kreme
best.
Please, don't fight me on that. Don't fight me on that.
Hit me on Twitter, Krispy Kreme.
All right. The great Bucky Brooks, Handsome Hank, great to see you once again. Black tie. Go analyze some basketball on Twitter. Enjoy the draft, everybody. Next we speak, we'll be back in Los Angeles, California, in Studio 66. In the meantime, thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.